All right, Arturo, go ahead. I think his mic is messed up. Yeah, I forgot. So let's go with Monty. Go ahead.
Oh, no, my name is Brandon Monty. How do you know me by Monty? 25. I'm in the military. Been in for almost 6 years now. And I consider myself being new to investing due to the fact that with stocks, I've been on and off. And then with real estate, I just bought a house a couple of months ago. So still new to that. And then my current investments is basically stocks and real estate. And then three things I want to get better at financially is budgeting, and then being more organized, and then continue to learn and investing, you know. So you think you know it all, but it's always good to keep learning.
Absolutely. All right, so then we got Nathan. Go ahead.
Good one. Y'all can hear me?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. My name is Nathan. I'm 21 years old. I'm currently in the military. I just extended to 2023. So I got 2 months to go. I kind of don't know if I'm going to end up doing it because, you know, the military is very secure, you know, job security, as I was always say. But I'm currently, new to investing. I just started, I want to say, in October. So I kind of do long-term investments, you know, the SP 500, mutual funds, that kind of thing for retirement. I don't do day trading because I don't know how to. You know, everything's a risk, you know. Current investments is, of course, stock market, you know, some stocks and mutual funds. I do really want to get into real estate. I was talking to Paul about Paulie about that. Get into real estate, wholesaling, rental property. That's a big one, big rental property. And that's one of the things I want to get financially better at, budgeting. And let's see what else. And credits. So, yeah, that's pretty much about it.
So, yeah, so it seems like everyone pretty much has a common thing with credit. Does everyone have a credit card here? Who doesn't have a credit card? All right, so everyone said, so take advantage of that credit card. So keep getting credit cards. There's a whole bunch of forums on Facebook that you can join. I think one's called the Credit Society, which I'm in, and I ask questions all the time in there. And back to the forums, like, whenever you don't know something, just go on there and just ask a question. Everyone in that forum started somewhere. So just ask a question. Don't be scared to be asking questions. I can't see the chat. Hold on 1 second. Is there questions on there?
Nah, so what's his name? Arturo. He said, he did his little intro. I say for everyone. He's 21, not in the military, currently have investments in the stock market and in process of buying my rental property. I would love to get rid of my debt and my, I would love to get rid of my debt on my credit cards.
So. All right, cool. Yeah. I know his mic is not working. He texted me. Let's see. Is there a question right here? Hey, what you mean, Javi, by Lee? I got you with the credit. What's going on with that?
Well, he said he wanted to like raise his credit. If I'm not mistaken, where's the, I can't see him. So he said that he wanted to raise his credit and whatnot. I had a situation like that too, man. When I was in Greece, my debit card didn't work, and I ended up using my credit card like my debit card. And man, like I don't know financially how whatever this, but that's a technique I kind of use. I never went beyond what I had. You know what I'm saying? I just kind of lived within my means. You know, I was in Greece, my credit card went out, and I'm like, fuck. So I used my credit card as my debit, and I was just buying whatever, and then I paid off what I, you know, like a debit card pretty much, and my credit score shot up like crazy, man. It was like in the 730s, 740s easily. So I mean, that's a technique I can use. Like you said, groceries is a good one. Like if you can take, instead of spending $100 on your debit card for groceries, use it on your debit card, I mean on your credit, paid off, you know what I'm saying? So little things like that they can show that you're buying and selling, whatever the case is, will benefit you in the long run, man. That's an advice that I would give to you, because that's what I did. And man, my credit score shot up, man. It shot up like crazy. Yeah. So just a word of advice. If you want to take it. That's something that I did, and it benefited me in the long run. And I would definitely recommend it for anybody that's struggling, you know, with low credit scores. Just use that as a pay it off like that. That way you can build it. So that's about it.
With the credit cards, talking about the credit card topic today right now, I do also use, so for me personally, I was told at a very young age that credit is king. You know, in order to get a seat at that party or that table with the wealthy, if you don't have good credit, you can't even get an invitation. I use my credit card as a debit card because, one, it depends on the benefits. If you got credit cards that have give you cash back on purchases, on different purchases, on gas or anything like that, like instead of using a debit card or cash, you might as well spend money to get money too as well down the road. Credit is definitely always will be a good thing to have.
No, yeah, for me, I have 5 credit cards at the moment, obviously all under the 30%. So it says here, says there, I'm sorry. So where is it? So for credit, try to keep under 30% of utilization. That's one of the big factors for your FICO score. The reason why I have so many credit cards is, like Paul said, to be able to spend money and get money back. So getting points, getting discounts on stuff. So I know American Express Platinum, if you're military, you can get it without no annual fee. And you can go on lounges, you can get upgrades on hotels, upgrades on flights. You can do all this stuff. You have those benefits. So my main goal, because you always have to have a goal for all the things that you do. My main goal is not just to have the most credit cards in the world. My goal is to be able to have $250,000 in credit right now. So once I get to that point, I'm able to leverage a lot of things and I'm able to get approved for a lot of things. So another, I know Polly wants to get a CC3 AMG. So we were talking about how he wanted to buy a cash. That's $20,000. So then we started brainstorming. We started talking about how having credit and having credit lines open, having a high credit, he's able to leverage that. So he's able to, instead of putting $20,000 on a car, he can put $5,000 down payment and $15,000 can go towards a property, which turns around and that property pays for that liability. So you get the 20, you put 5 into the car, you put 15 to a down payment for a multifamily home, and the cash flow can either do 100% of the payment or can do at least 80, 60%, whatever it is.
Hey, Esteban, could you explain, I know earlier you said the credit utilization. So explain to the group what is credit utilization is.
Yeah, so for quick math, so let's say you have a credit limit of $100. Only use $30 off of that. That's going to be your 30%. of your credit limit. So try to do that no matter what it is. So it's 10,000 and it's 3,000, you know what I'm saying? So always use under that, because the credit bureaus are going to see you, if you're using 100% of your credit card limit, it's going to seem like you're a risky investment for them. Remember, all the banks are trying to do is make money off of you. So if you use 100%, you're going to be a liability for them, and they're not going to be able to give you the credit score that you want, etc. So always try to keep under 30%.
All right, we got a couple questions.
Hey, I'm sorry, pardon me to interrupt. I was just looking at the ones that says, I would love to get rid of my debt and my credit card paid off and whatever. Paul, do you have something? You go first. Paul.
I say, do you guys, I think this is Arturo, do you guys pay off all your credit cards immediately or pay it off slowly? With that, if you see on your credit card, and correct me if I'm wrong, but with the billing cycle, usually when you use your credit card, you get a billing cycle. And that day, usually right after that billing cycle, so say the 25th of every month, your billing cycle closes. So you have basically a certain amount of days after that so that you can pay it off. So, but with me personally, I use my credit card. And every Friday, I pay it off. Anything I use, I pay it off immediately. And I just do that. I built a habit on that as well to help I'm sorry. Fuck. I just had a brain fart. But yeah, so I use my credit card and I pay it off every Friday or every Saturday. Well, every Friday or every Thursday, just so that I can see that I'm paying it off. And then by the time the billing cycle closes, I don't have money owed. But before, what I used to do is that my first credit card that I used, I would pay it off and I would leave $50 to $100 every month on that card so it can roll over to the next cycle, and that can build a history for me, saying that, okay, he uses a card, but he leaves this amount of money, and that builds history, like credit history. But now I leave it zero. I don't need anything.
Yeah, so I leave zero every single month. So, I leave zero for that statement for that month, because I pay every month. I paid every month, and it's gonna be the statement balance. So every month is paid off for that statement. My goal, when people come to me like, yo, should I get this credit card? Yeah, get it. And they'll be like, wait, but the APR is too high. I'm like, that's cool. None of my credit cards I've ever touched the APR. I've never gotten charged APR.
Yeah.
Cause it'll be like 20, 26%. And then you go, you pay $100 and then that only pays what fucking, I don't know, like $60 off of the $100 that you pay. So then you leave that there, and the next month they charge you more on that $40.
Yeah. And so with me leaving the money low to roll over the next month, that's usually when you sign for a credit card, depending on which you sign for, they usually give you like a window where you have no interest, no APR for like a certain amount of months. So right now I just applied for a credit card, the Chase Unlimited card, and they gave me 15 months with no APR. So what I'm doing now is I'm using that money to buy the stuff that I need for my rental property. And then I'm going to be paying off during time, like during down the road. And it won't affect me at all because there's no interest on that. So it'll leave the same balance.
Basically a free loan, pretty much. You're borrowing money. So if you guys read Rich Dad Poor Dad, he preaches on using other people's money to pay for yours, like using all people's money to make your money. So that's a method, a lower method of using other people's money. So you get a credit card that gets 15 months with no APR. And you go, like me, I'm remodeling my kitchen. I need to buy appliances. They say I have $25,000 a credit limit. And then I have 15 months of no APR. So I go ahead and buy the appliances. And then throughout those 15 months, I'm paying it off, because it's never accumulating interest. So it's a free loan. Obviously, you have to pay that back, but you can leverage it. I also think with credit, if you ain't got good credit, start by doing that. Start by getting your money together. Get a good credit score, because an example, me and Polly, when we bought our house, we were thinking we were young and we were gonna get taxed on that interest for the house. But we worked for the last 3 or 4 years. We've been working on our credit and reading about credit and really hitting it hard. So when it came down to it, we got approved for 2.375 in interest, which is super low. It's also with timing too, because the pandemic, all the interest went down. But you have to have credit to be able to get good prices and stuff like that on your loans. Lee, you have something? I thought you were about to talk.
Yeah. Let's actually, we got two people that we need to allow introduce themselves. And then we got Walker and we got Ote. So we'll start off with Walker. Pull up the original screen. You guys are just going to introduce yourself. He'll tell you, like, the screen will tell you exactly what you need to talk about in your introduction.
Yeah, real quick.
Yo, can you hear me?
Yeah,
we can hear you.
Right, here you go. So I don't know if Walker wants to go first. Go ahead, bro.
You're.
Hey, you see the screen?
Walker, you there? Okay, Ote, you there?
Yes, I'm here. I'm here. All right. Oh, sweet. Hey, what's up, Walker?
Oh, hey, Walker, just hold off real quick. We're going to let Ote do his intro.
Hello, can you guys hear me?
Yep.
All right, good morning for some people. I'm Michael Ote, I'm 28, been in the military. Yes, I am military. I'm currently going to be a drill sergeant in about 3 weeks.
Hell yeah.
I've been doing some investing. My sister's fiance, he got me into investing. So some stuff that I'm investing in is stock right now. And then three things you want to get better at financially. I just want to understand credit better if I can get better at it. I'm trying to buy a house in the near future too. So that's some of my ventures that I want to figure out how to do well. And just understand like how I can increase my business line of credit and just credit in general. My credit score is not bad. It's like 654. But that's pretty much it.
So can I
get into the whole thing?
Let Walker introduce himself.
What's up? How's it going? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Sweet. So my name is Mello Walker. I'm fucking 24. Yeah, I'm in the military. Kind of new to investing. Crane Investments. What's up?
Flip your camera, bro.
Oh, damn, I thought I did. Is it not? All right, how about now?
Yeah.
Can you see me now?
Yeah.
All right, bet. Yeah, because it don't show me what I'm seeing, so I'm kind of playing a guessing game. Plus, I just woke up. But current investments would have to be Moderna, GME, AMC, BlackBerry, and Sundown Growers.
So you invest in the stock market?
Yeah. Okay. Yep, yep. Three things I want to get better at financially would have to be financial freedom. I would have to say would be one of them. What's up, farmer? Financial freedom, wealth, and overall just stability in it.
Yeah. Yeah, I would like to say having your finances, that's why you put that last thing right there, having your finances in check before you start investing is a must. Because if you got, let's say, $20,000 in debt, but then you go ahead and invest $5,000 in the stock market, doesn't make sense. So try to get all your debt together and try to make a plan on how you're going to get out of that. There's a lot of books out there. I don't like Dave Ramsey a lot and his methodology on a lot of stuff that he does, but he does have like the snowball strategy that is pretty much like either taking the highest amount of debt. Like, let's say you have an account with $20,000 in debt, $5,000 and $6,000, let's say. So you're going to pay off either the highest interest account or you're going to pay off the highest amount, the highest account with the highest amount in there. So there's different methods that are out there that all you have to do is do a quick Google search and you'll find everything. Everything that we've learned, I'm talking about everyone on here, I'm sure you've learned about it in the internet. So it's a quick search and just, yeah, put some time into it and learn all your stuff.
Absolutely. Let's open it up for questions. Like,
yeah,
I know like the people who are already doing okay or have something going, we can talk all day, but like for those who have joined and came to like either ask questions or like give something new to the group, that because if we've never been in the group before, then like let's open it up for that. So
yeah,
free range, anybody can talk. Let's do some back and forth, let's have an open discussion, because we can talk all day about credit and all that. Like, let's be more specific. Like, who has questions about real estate, who has questions about stocks, who has questions about where to borrow, like where to buy, where to start buying?
Yeah. There's a question on here real quick. Monty asked, what are the benefits of that credit card? What credit card are you talking about and to who?
Look, the fucking Grim Reaper. God damn.
Oh, that was for Farmer on that Chase Unlimited.
Uh-huh. All right. So yeah, so with the Chase Free Unlimited credit card, so for me, always I always try to get cash back on credit cards. Just because since I'm spending money, I want to kind of get money back. But with the benefits on the Chase Free Unlimited credit card, so you get 5% on buying a ticket, a flight ticket through Chase. Also, you get 3% on any restaurants or any fast food deliveries.
with using that credit card, and also you get 1%, 1.5% cash back with any other purchase. So that's kind of good too for me, because you know, with the benefits like that, like why I want to see why wouldn't it be a bad option for me with credit cards. And plus the other credit card that I have is Navy Fed, and they usually do 1% cash back on certain stores, like Home Depot, Walmart, and stuff, and Best Buy and stuff like that. But with the cash free unlimited, you get 1% on any purchases.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, so, I got a question.
Go ahead.
No, how much do you guys know about bonds?
Not much. Not about bonds, no. I haven't used bonds.
I mean, bonds, so bonds are, a lot of people use bonds as a safe way to invest money, but like bonds are good for big amounts of money, right? Bonds are protected by the government too. Mm-hmm. So there will not be, the stock market will not affect, you know, whether or not you gain or lose money. Usually with bonds, there is a consistent return on your money, let's say 4%. And people, when they put 10 grand mm-hmm. into that bond, usually bonds are also time oriented, right? So you'll have a bond, you put the money in there for 5 or 10 years at a 3% interest rate. It will for sure, whether the stock market crashed or not, give you that 3% return on $5,000, $10,000, $25,000. So they're smart for like putting some money somewhere and forgetting about it, and then coming back 5 years, 10 years down the road. People do it for kids all the time.
Hey, to answer Alto, I feel like Alto's getting left out. I think that's his name, Alto. Alto. I think that's his name.
Well, hey, Arturo, do you have a mic on, bro?
Yeah, his mic is bad.
Yeah, go ahead, bro. Like, go ahead. Ask away, man. Okay. Ask away.
Do you guys hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, amazing. Bro, I wanted to ask you guys, how would you guys recommend building your credit score? So I have like 6 cards right now, and they're all under like 30%. But I've noticed that my credit score keeps going down, dude. And I was wondering what that might be. I think it's my credit age, or I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I can help you out with that. You can just share. Obviously, I don't know if you want to share publicly. I wouldn't, but mainly, I would have to like look at the actual like what's going on in your credit report or even Credit Karma or Experian to see what exactly is happening. There's a lot of things that could be, you can have collections you don't even know about. You can have I don't know, a credit card that you don't use no more and you thought you canceled, but you still have it in there. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of things that could go into it. There might so be you think
all the cards I have to use them every month. Or
no, not every month. Every month, no.
But I should be switching them around.
Yeah. So if you have 6 cards, make a chart and with a name and stuff like that, and see where you're going to use it for. So, all right, I know every month I have to pay gas. So what card is going to give me the most cash back and the most benefits for using that amount? And then you got to go and make an equation. So you got to go, all right, I spent this much gas in this month. Will that leave me under 30%? It does. Cool. Let me use that credit card for just only that. And then you divide it. I mean, you separate it between what are you going to use it for? And once you know, it's going to start going. Another thing you could do, if you've had your cards for more than 92 days or something like that, you can call a bank. You're like, yo, I've been using this card for a long time. I have this credit limit. I would like to increase my credit limit. Once you do that, it's going to be a soft increase since you already have the card, and you're going to have a bigger credit line. So that means your credit is going to go up and your decisions are going to go down. So that'll be something you can try.
Monty asked a question about the credit. So is it better to cancel the credit card instead of leaving it there?
Leave it there. Don't ever cancel it. It's going to
I'd say line of credit, you're gonna close it, yeah.
Not even the line of credit, just your credit age. So a lot of banks, when they go and pull your credit, they're gonna see, all right, how long has he had a credit line open? So once you cancel that, let's say you got 4 cards this year, but you've had that one card for 5 years, your average age is going to drop down to a year instead of 5 years. So I would
cancel the card.
Exactly. I would recommend never closing a card.
Hey, back to Arturo, bro. Let's help him out some more. So we talked about, you know, you kind of doing, you have to do a little bit of research and see what's going on. What other questions do you have?
I was also thinking concerning credit.
Okay.
That was pretty much all I had for credit. But dude, also, like, buying a house too early. So I was listening to Dave Ramsey, and supposedly you shouldn't buy a house if it costs more than 25% of your income monthly. Do you guys agree on that or no?
I disagree.
You disagree?
Disagree. Because, I don't, like I said, I don't really believe in a lot of Dave Ramsey stuff. He's a lot of
It's a little crazy sometimes.
Yeah, he's like, I'll buy everything in cash, use credit cards, nothing. I don't really like that part of it. But
I think with Dave Ramsey.
Oh, all right, go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. With Dave Ramsey, I heard, I don't know if it's true or not, but I think I heard that the reason why he is how he is now is because he did do a lot of investments and didn't use those stuff that he's pushing out to his audience now, because he was in major debt. If I'm not wrong,
he was in major debt, and he found God, and
then that's what made him change. But to answer your question, honestly, the only way that you can find out if it's right for you to buy real estate or get into real estate is understanding where you at now financially and where you want to go 5 years from now or however long, and then say, so right now, how old are you? You're 21, right?
21, yeah.
So say 5 years from now, when you're 26, where do you want to be financially at the age of 26? Say you want to have $100,000 or you want to have however X amount of money. Okay. What can make you reach that goal throughout those 5 years? So real estate is a big answer for a lot of people, but financially you have to see, okay, how much are you spending every day or every month or whatever? Like, what's your debt? Mm-hmm. If you have good debt, I mean, because debt, you can have bad debt and you also can have good debt. So house, like having a house, a property, that can be good debt, because, and if you're renting it out, if someone's paying off your debt, that's good debt because it's bringing down the principal and all that stuff. And you, that value of the house will always be there. It might depreciate, but real estate throughout 50 years has an increase in appreciation. It has a few dips during pandemics and during like recessions and stuff like that, but it'll always rise up. So you'll never lose your money with real estate unless it's a bad deal and it's a bad, like your numbers are not right. But
what would you recommend as a good deal? How would you guys know?
Right. So we got to pull way back, right? We're talking, sometimes we get, so like we're talking to people who are on the same, you know, understanding as us, right? So you understand real estate in general, and it's going to take some research, bro. You got to first off start out with some YouTube videos and stuff like that. What is real estate? What all does it incorporate? Because you have, you know, you have apartment buildings, you have single family homes, you have all that. And then the next question is, well, how do you purchase real estate? And then we have to talk about the three ways that you can purchase real estate. One is through a conventional loan, right? Conventional loan requires 20% down on the house, which is a lot of fucking money, right? $100,000 house, they want 20% down, that's 20 grand. Nobody has 20 grand just to give up, okay? Then you have an FHA loan, right? That's a federal housing, what's the A? Come on, help me out.
Housing Association.
Thank you, Federal Housing Association loan, which requires a 3.5% down payment, which is a lot more feasible, right? That's only $3,500 on a $100,000 house, right? And then you have the VA loan, which is for military, which we're not going to talk about that.
Yeah.
So you need to first off find out how much money you have right now, like money that you just have in savings, right? Figure that out. Write that number down, okay? If you don't have any in savings, then you need to start building some money so that you can purchase property, right? And it doesn't have to be this extravagant home, right? These $300,000, $400,000 houses, you can start small. Where do you live? What state are you in?
Miami.
What's up?
Miami, yeah.
Oh, fuck no. Yeah, so Miami. Yeah. The house
there is crazy, right? We got it hard here, bro.
Exactly. So yeah, there are ways that you can get into real estate without, you know, having a lot of money as well. And it would take more than just talking now because that's like a whole hour segment.
Yeah. That
so if you are interested in that, we can definitely put something together for you. I'm going to write that down now, like how to get into real estate 101.
No, and definitely we will set that up for the audience too as well. Just get more in depth in either the stock market or get in depth in real estate or any other type of businesses that we are familiar with.
I will say this though, Arturo, for now, I think you need to start. Do you have a vision board?
Yeah, I do. It's right here.
Okay, perfect. Add real estate on there. Okay, and then for now, if you have one of goals, you could just write down, I want to own a property within the next 3 years, right? And then what it's going to take is you're going to have to do some, you got to get down in the books, right? Not talking physical books, but YouTube, talking to us and where we got our information from, right? So that you can get spun up real quick, get down and dirty, and then you can start allocating your money appropriately. You know, whatever W-2 job that you have, you start setting aside that money so that you can go ahead and start moving on that property. But we will address that, but I don't know if we have time to address it here. So
would you guys recommend buying a house in Miami or move out of state?
So me being from Miami as well, the market is tough out there. You can get a two bed for $600. Like, it's insane out there.
Yeah.
But you do have Northern Florida. So Orlando, West Palm, or even in South Florida, like Homestead, the houses are cheap down there. It definitely could be done, but it's going to take a lot more capital to do. And then back to the loan thing, I would suggest for you an FHA loan. If you put that 3.5% down and you house hack it. So I say right now you're spending what's the average on rent in Miami? It's like $2,000, $2,500 in rent.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, that's what I'm paying right now.
Expensive. So let's say you get a house and then you have a tenant. So that tenant is paying down your mortgage, and it comes down to you paying only $200 a month on that mortgage plus utilities. So now you're only spending $700-$800 in that month. You know what I'm saying? And then you have a piece of property that's yours. So
yeah, I think that's
once you get that first property, you're going to want to keep going. Like, we in the process right now, we're looking at properties. I just moved into this one, house hacking, and I'm already looking at the second one. It gets a
If you're renting right now,
like, is it hard? Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, my bad, bro. This for everybody. If you're renting, please stop renting. You're throwing your money. You're paying off somebody else's mortgage, right? And yes, I know it's convenient. I don't have time to buy a house. I don't have time for this. If you're paying $2,000 a month, if you just stay with family for 2 months, you could collect that $4,000 and go put that down on something else, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's all about leveraging what you have. You have family, you have friends. Sometimes you got to sacrifice that pride and all of that, I just want to have my own stuff, but you're just paying off somebody else's mortgage. But go ahead with your question, bro.
Is it hard to get a second loan? Let's say you already bought your first house. Is it harder to get the second loan out? And no. Would you guys recommend getting another debt on another house?
So if you purchase a home, right, and use the FHA loan, right, you can't use the FHA loan again, right?
Okay.
That's the thing, because it's what you're saying is, I want to live in this property. This property is going to be where I live forever, right? So the FHA loan is kind of a one-time use thing, unless you convert that FHA loan to a conventional loan, right? That means that you'd have to actually have 20% down and all of that.
Refinance it.
You refinance the home into a conventional loan, and then that frees up your FHA loan. You can go purchase another property with the FHA loan. But I wouldn't say it's harder. It's harder in the aspect of, you can't use the FHA anymore. You have to use a conventional, which is 20% down. But you have to handle, if you can manage one property, then you can manage multiple. And they're not going to say, oh, well, you already have a home, or you have two homes or three homes, so we're not going to work with you. They're going to want to work with you, because you now have three properties and you have something to leverage. You have value, right? Because you own three properties.
Also,
credit line.
Also, with the conventional loan, a lot of people don't know this, and I didn't know this as well until I did I watched some YouTube videos as well. But with the conventional loan, conventional loans is a 20% down payment, and usually you get the 20 to 25% down payment if it's an investment property. But if it's a duplex or it's a multifamily, if you intend to occupy one side, owner occupancy, you get a 5% down payment with the conventional loan. So it's all about how you're able to do your research and do everything. I'm sorry?
No, yeah, how you structure, you got to make a plan. So I'm going to use the FHA loan. You know you can only use it once. So I buy with an FHA loan, 3.5%. All right, what am I going to do next? Conventional loan. All right, so now I know from the information he just gave you, there's only 5% if you intend to live in it. I don't think there's a cap on conventional loans if you intend to live. I mean, that's what would make sense to me. I would have to do my research as well. I didn't know what he just said. But you have to make a plan. Make a plan and go ahead and just act on it.
And this whole meeting too as well is to help to make sure that you guys know that there's people just in the same situation that you were in or was in the situation that you were in, and yep. making this group so that we can all be successful and you know scale up and Amen. Do it.
Hey, Anto, is it Anto? Arturo. I'm sorry, bro. I don't mean to. Arturo. So I don't mean to mispronounce your name, bro.
Ain't you Hispanic? Hey, bro? Man,
what's going on, bro? I get
hey, city service. So I hear all I hear is Arturo. Sorry. Bro, I'm on the same boat as you, man. I'm trying to like buy my first property, and I have questions like that too, bro. Like is my credit good enough? Whatever the case is this a good place to buy a property? Like Colorado, I mean, leave those two. Colorado, this is a tough market out here, man.
Yeah.
But one of the big things is like what Paul like said and emphasized. You know, really pushes it. Credit is king, man. Credit is king. You say you're 21 with 6 credit cards, and your credit card, I mean, your score keeps going down. But it sounds like to me that it might be some hard inquiries bringing your credit. Hard inquiries.
Yeah, I mean, I got down, a car. You know so that, I got braces now that I'm paying for, bro. So
yeah, so those all might be a factor of your credit mm-hmm. going up or down, fluctuating more than you might ever think. So my big thing is, man, like budgeting. Budget is a big thing when it comes to like paying off credit. You know, keeping it under 30%. Us being in the military, you know, we get the same check every 1st to the 15th. So that's easier for us to budget. You know, what I'm saying every. I had the thing where I pay twice on my credit card. I pay it once on the 1st and once on the 15th. And that's just how I do it. Everything comes down to how do you want to do it and strategize how you can do it, how you can financially do it. If you can do it twice a month, then do it. You know, if you can do it once a month, then do it as well. It's just how you can do it and financially do it. And a lot of people are like, oh, just pay off the $30. No, never pay the minimum ever. Pay a smidge more over the minimum. You know what I'm saying? If your minimum is 30, see if you could pay 50 or 60. I'm not saying go out of your way, whatever the case is, but if you budget right, you break down your financial stuff and whatever the case is, and you can do it, man. This is going to build your credit, and everything just takes time. My credit's not going to go up in the next month. It can take 6 months. It can take a year, man. Trust me, it's not going to happen overnight. But if you start that and you do it religiously, then you'll be set. You'll be set, and you can go do those things. You can get that loan and your interest rates won't be as high as someone that doesn't, you know what I'm saying? So you saying pay off, how do I pay off my credit cards and stuff like that? It's just how you budget. It's just how you can do it. It's not gonna happen overnight. Trust me. One time I had $700. Yeah, $700. And it took me a little bit to pay it off, but financially I did it. And it is what it is. You know what I'm saying?
So we're in the military. Yeah. It's easy for us, but for you for anyone who is not in the military, it's not hard. It's just having a mindset, okay, I need to get this done. So let me just do what I need to do to get to where I need to go.
Just sacrifices.
We have some people in the chat we need to talk briefly on VA loan. And then right after that, I think we have somebody else that wanted to talk about the Burr method with the properties.
Yeah. So Mike, do you guys have
what questions you got, Mikey?
So pretty much, I'm just trying to figure out where to start. My plan is to buy a house down here in St. Louis, and okay. I just want to know like what resources, understand the process, time frames, whatever information you guys have that can help me out. If anyone has a website or something like that.
So first thing you need to figure out are you going to be there temporarily or is this long term? What's the purpose of this house? Is this a house? Is this forever home, or is this something that you want to like potentially make some profit off of?
I want to profit off of it.
Okay. The first thing I would do is figure out what the BH rate is for that area. The second thing I would do is do not buy a single family home. Mm-hmm. Okay. Do not. You want to look at duplexes. You want to look at triplexes. You want to look at quadplexes.
Multifamily.
You can buy up to 4 doors with the VA loan, right?
Yeah. 1 to 4 units.
Or 4 units, okay? So when you're getting on Zillow or realestate.com or realtor.com and you're looking for properties, in the filters, you need to go ahead and unselect single family homes, unselect condos, and townhouses. You're looking for tris, quads, multifamily, okay? Then in any website that you use when you're looking at home, it allows you to figure out how much you're going to pay a month. It tells you the taxes. It tells you the insurance on that home and all of that, okay? And so when you look in there, a lot of those websites already have a checkbox for VA benefits, right, which means 0% down. Okay. Once you put that in, you put in your general credit score, right? Some have general credit scores. My credit score is between this and this. Right now, I'll tell you, if you have a 650 to a 700, you're going to be paying 3.3% to 3.5% APR, hands down, right? Put that number in, and that will tell you how much your monthly payment will be. Okay. Before I keep going to any of that, like any questions.
Yeah, on, I heard it. I understand.
Okay.
Ask me if any of them have ever.
So after that, right, you figure out how much BH making, you found a nice house, right, that has, you know, more than one door to it, and it's more than your BH, right? It's more than how much the Army's giving you to pay your rent. That's when you can figure out how much you can rent the other side out for, or how much you can rent the other two properties out for, right? And we can get more into specifics later, but that's the start.
Yeah.
Figuring out what your BH rate is, figuring out what your credit score is, and basically, like, you know, understanding how much APR you're going to pay, and then finding a home that you want that's close to base or, you know, close to wherever you want, and then start reaching out and finding a realtor that knows VA loans. And can work with you.
Hey, so double tapping for the VA loan information and like the breakdown on the property. So when I started my process, I didn't know much either. I just kind of just went ahead and did it. What I did, I went on Zillow, farm properties, call realtors. You have to do that. You're not going to get around that. So go ahead, ask questions about the property. What's the age of it, taxes, all that stuff. Go see the property. When I went and did that, my agent was like, hey, do you have your pre-qual letter? I'm like, I don't even know what that is. I didn't know how to get pre-qualified. So once you get that done, you get your pre-qualification, they'll tell you, okay, you're approved up to $250,000. Cool. And then you tell them, hey, I'm only going to be using $190,000, which is what I did, $190,000. And then you can get a ballpark number to how much you'd be paying on your mortgage. So based on what they have you locked in for your interest and based on taxes, based on purchase price. So your mortgage company, your mortgage lender is going to tell you all that information. Once I did that, I was able to find on YouTube this guy named Chandler David Smith that he has a link, or he has a website that is an Excel sheet that you download to your computer. You put in what is your credit, what is your interest, how much the purchase price, and all your numbers. And then from there, you can analyze the property and see, is this going to make me money? Am I going to be losing money? How much should I be putting? So that's another tool that you can use for negotiation. Let's say you found a house that is $200,000, and then you put all those numbers in that Excel sheet, and you're in the negatives. You won't be getting cash flow. So you go ahead and okay, so it's $200,000. Let me put it down to $190,000. All right, so $190,000 is a little bit better number. Let me put it down to $185,000. All right, so $185,000 works for me. All right, so I'm gonna offer him $180,000, and then hopefully get to that $185,000, but don't settle. If it number doesn't work for you, move on. Don't settle. Yeah.
And
my fault.
Hey, Ote, you got any response to anything he said before we move on?
Yeah. So who's the guy off YouTube?
Yeah. So I'll send everything to Lee right now, or right after we get this, and he can send it to you.
Just put it in the chat. If you have that YouTube real quick.
Yeah.
I have to find David Chandler, right?
Yeah. Just type it in the chat.
So my question for the VA, so it's pretty much you don't go to like some liaison and say, hey, I want to get pre-approved for a VA loan to buy a house. You go through somebody and you tell them you're a veteran, and then they will get you the VA loan like that?
Yeah.
So, right. So here's the thing. Okay. A lot of people don't understand. VA loan is not an entity, right? It's not a lending. The VA is not lending you money to purchase your home. The VA is providing protections and benefits with any lender. You can go to ABC Mortgage down the street and you say, hey, I want to utilize my VA loan. They have to honor those protections and those benefits, right? So you can use your VA loan with anybody, USA, Navy Fed, any other like local lenders, anybody. And yeah, they just have to ensure that there's no down payment, that it's a 30-year fixed, and that, there's other protections that are incorporated with that. So you get your own qualification letter, right? There's a website. It's like VA loan or something like that. You print it out, and then you go and you find a realtor, and you say, hey, I'm a veteran. I like this house. I would like to use my VA loan. They can say, hey, do you already have a mortgage lender, right? Somebody that's going to let you borrow the money. You say no. They'll say, hey, well, we know a couple people locally, or you can go find your own lender, right? USA, Navy, Federal, and you give them the VA loan letter, and they'll go ahead and finance the home.
Yeah.
But you don't have to go through a third party.
Yeah. And to add on that, some mortgage lenders, it's rare to see it, but some mortgage lenders don't fund it with the VA loan. So some of them don't use the VA loan, but majority of them, I'd say 90% of them, anywhere that you go, especially around a military post, they will, they know how to use the VA loan to benefit you. And for me, one thing to add on to what everyone said is, since you're new, and I would say for me too, Esteban and Lee, that, you know, when we first started, we didn't know who to call, who do all this. So what I did personally was I drove around, and you know the for sale signs that usually the agents post on the house that's for sale, I would call them and say that I'm interested in the property, whatever. And usually, because they know all the connections, you don't know, you're just opening the door right now. You don't know anybody, and they know the people to contact. So you kind of can network through them to find out who's your lender, or what's a good lender to go through. Cause there are some lenders that they say that they able to use a VA loan, but you got to go through a whole bunch of crap, mm-hmm. unnecessary crap, to get the house that you want. So definitely, we should definitely, talk more about this in like a more,
one-to-one type of thing. I didn't have to call a VA for anything. My agent was experienced with the VA loan. So she's an agent in this area. So most of the buyers in this area are military. So yep. She was experienced in all that. She did you have to get a certificate of eligibility, I think that's what it's called. And then you have to, certificate of eligibility, but she did everything for me. So yeah. I asked those questions, hey, what do I need to do with my certificate of eligibility? What do I have to sign and stuff like that? Can you help me out with that? But I never went and called the VA, and they never did anything for me. I never spoke to them.
And Mike, also too, if you don't know anything, you should be comfortable enough to build a relationship with your agent, whoever you decide to work with as your agent to help you find the home that you want to, or an investment property, or a property that you want to make money off of down the long run, either as a multifamily. You should have the confidence enough that, okay, whatever he or she is doing will benefit me in the most significant way ever. So they'll help me get the right vendor, the right paperwork, the right negotiation price, all that stuff. So building a relationship too, you're going to see that the stuff that you think you know now is just going to be added on to what they have for you.
If you know about any of the real estate agents, is somebody talking? Who is that?
That was Javi.
Okay. My bad. If you feel uncomfortable with the real estate, they're not, they feel off. Don't use them. Go to somebody else. You're not tied to, you can literally shop for a real estate agent, yes. Right? Somebody that, you feel more comfortable working with a female of the same color as you, then do that, right? Because there's laws and things that protect you, right? Nobody can really like win you over or fuck you over with the VA loan, okay? So find somebody that you feel comfortable with, because once you go into contract with that real estate agent, which is basically saying, hey, you are going under contract with me, I'm going to find you a home and you can't use another real estate agent, yeah. Right? you have to be very careful with that, because you'll get stuck with that person. And now that person is obligated to find you a property, right? So make sure that whoever you're working with, don't sign a contract. You know, obviously I'll talk to you, bro. Anybody else who's looking to purchase a home, hit us up. Hit up me, Paulie, Esteban. And if you feel like you don't know what the process is, we'll break it down for you. We'll go through it with you. You can text us every day, like, hey, man, I just signed the contract. You know, they were saying this and saying that. What's next? That's what the purpose of this group is. So that as you're going through these steps, we're not just talking about it here on Sunday in the call and like, all right, see you in 2 weeks. We're trying to talk to each other throughout the week and help you through these steps so you don't feel like you're doing this alone. We're all doing this shit together.
Yeah. I'm not gonna lie to y'all. It was tough. And me and my wife didn't know what the hell we were doing. Yep. It was tough. And me and Paulie were doing it at the same time, but we both were in the same stage. So yeah. I didn't really have anyone to go like, yo, how did you do this? How did you do that? It was just basically me and my relationship with the agent, someone that was experienced. So like they said before, build, if you're not comfortable with that agent, move on. Yes. It is your money. It is your investment. For yep. most of the people here, this is the biggest investment you've ever done.
Yep.
For me, $190,000, I would have never thought I was going to buy a house like that.
Facts.
But it's your money and it's your decision. So don't let anyone influence that. Don't let anyone like that take care of what your decision making process. Real quick, I'll break down my deal real quick. Nathan's been there for a minute. So I bought the house for $190,000. The interest was 2.375. I have a tenant right now that if you're military, you know he the rank structure. He's an E6. He's a staff sergeant. And the rent right now is $1,050. My mortgage is $1,242. So already with that is already covering $1,000 off my mortgage, and I'm only paying $242. Once I move out, I'll be cash flowing around $400 to $500 every single month of just having this property here. So now you might be asking like, okay, so how do you take care of it when you go on deployment, leave, whatever it is? So I have a next home property management. So I have a team of property managers that take care of my property. So when it comes down to paying rent, when it comes down to repairs, lease agreements, everything, they take care of all that. I'm pretty much hands off. The guy, I met him, but I didn't want to. My goal was to have him think I'm just a tenant here too, because I don't want him knocking on my door at 2 o'clock in the morning. Yo, my heater's not working. I want him to call the line and be like, yo, my heater's not working, to the property management. That's what I'm paying them for. The percentage that I paid to the property management is 10% of the rent. So if it's $1,000, I pay them $100, pretty much what it is. And that's every single month. They set up a reporter for you that the tenant can come in there and pay you, that goes directly into your account. Any maintenance that needs to be done, they take care of it, and they pretty much put it into your portal, and whatever the rent is, they'll take it out of the rent automatically. Because either way, it's going to come out. You're going to pay it. So I set it up that whatever money I have in the portal at the time for rent, just take it out of there for whatever maintenance it is. That's pretty much a quick overview of it. Paul, you want to do a quick one as well?
Yeah. So, Nathan, so on my deal, to me personally, I feel like I hit a home run with this. So to let everyone know, I am single. So I'm not married or nothing like that. So I used a VA loan too to purchase this property. But I bought a duplex property before it was off market. My agent found an off market deal, and they were selling it for $169,000. But my agent told me that the seller was going to take that price off and bump it up $20,000 to $30,000 more because they're going to fully remodel the bigger side of the duplex, and they put about $20,000 to $30,000 on the remodeling. So I purchased the property for $195,000. Right now, no one is living on that side because I'm renting that side out. But I have two applications in already that wanna live in it. So they're going through the background checks and all that stuff to see if they get approved or not. But with that rent. So my interest rate is 2.375, the same as Juan. My mortgage though is $1,105.28, and I'm renting that side out for $1,200. So just with the rent itself, that'll be paying the mortgage
for me. So I'm living on one side of the duplex basically for free. I don't need to worry about my mortgage payment. So with that, the thing is, so I have a, because I'm going on deployment soon. So how am I going to be able to manage my property? So I also have a property management. They take 10% of, I thought you, I thought they were going to take, well, they're going to take 10% of the rent. So they taking $120 out. So I have to put in out of my pocket only $25 to put for the mortgage payment because the math and all that stuff. So once I'm able to live, well, I'm going to come back from deployment and then I'm going to rent the side out that I'm living in just because of the occupancy and all that stuff. So then once I rent both sides out, I'll be cash flowing the same as Esteban, about $450 to $550 a month of cash flow. And that's how everything is paid for and also saved as well.
Javi, had a question. Have on to say something?
Well, yeah, let me quick ask.
Yeah.
Hold on. So with Nathan, so we didn't really do a BRRRR property, and I didn't do the fix and flip. I got it under contract that the seller would do the fix and flip, basically. So, yeah.
Hey, with that being said, I bought this house. Well, me and my wife bought this house for literally $1,000. That's all the money I had to put in because there was no down payment, and I negotiated. Very important. If you don't get anything from here, get this. Negotiate closing cost. Negotiate yes. It. Closing cost is going to be $5,000
to $7,000.
Yep. So I negotiated the closing cost into the price. So the seller paid for my closing cost and his closing cost. He also, the VA has requirements for you to be able to be there. It has to be live-in ready. The roof was bad. So they're trying to negotiate, hey, but you got to fix the roof. I didn't have $13,000 to fix that. So we negotiated it again. They ended up fixing this with their insurance for $13,000 and I have a brand new roof and I didn't pay a cent for it. So like I said, like Paulie said, if you guys have any questions on how to structure your deal, anything like that, just hit online. I'm always able to talk about this. I love talking about this. So
don't you have a WhatsApp or something
I was going to say at the end, can y'all start putting your phone numbers if you want to be in this group chat? We're going to talk about stocks, real estate, whatever it is, motivational videos, whatever it is that has to do with the financial markets. We're going to be putting in that WhatsApp chat. All right. So I got one number. Just keep adding on there and we'll get that rolling.
Go ahead, Javi.
I don't put my number in. So back on the old topic that you guys like switched over like 10 topics already. On the VA loan and the agent and all that other fun-loving stuff, I found it more critical for me to have a approval letter to show an agent. You know, I feel like I talk to multiple agents. I talk to like 6 agents, and the very first thing, not the second thing, is, hey, are you approved? Do you have an approval letter? Hey, are you pre-approved already? That's very important. I think that's very important when it comes to purchasing properties and stuff like that. When you're talking to agents, I feel like agents will take you a little bit more serious. You know, because they know you're serious. Like, oh, damn, this guy already has an approval letter. He has, and then they have a price range to work with you. You know, they don't limit. And you know, a lot of people, they go up to them like, yeah, I'm in a 250, whatever range. And then they start looking. But when you show them that approval letter, like, okay, this guy's only qualified for $150,000, $200,000. Then that's something to work with. And then they can work with that price range. You know what I'm saying? They might give you a house that is $210,000, but yeah, you can always like Esteban said, you can always negotiate and stuff like that. You can always lower the price. I did a there was a property I'm looking at. Well, I was looking at. It was $270,000, and me and my agent, we negotiated for $250,000 or $255,000, whatever the case is. And you just drop the deal to them, and whatever the case is. And sometimes you negotiate like closing costs or whatever the case is, and stuff like that. But always making a deal and whatever the case. And I learned this from Paul too. I give him props for it too. You can go with low balls, you know what I'm saying? Drop low balls on them sometimes and maybe they might catch it, you know what I'm saying? You might drop the price $30,000 or $25,000, whatever the case is, but you don't know the owner's mindset. Maybe he just wants to get rid of it and he'll just take the price, whatever it is. So if the guy's selling it for $210,000, he might take that $180,000. maybe because he just wants to get rid of it, or maybe he just take that 180 because that's his low ball. You know what I'm saying? Maybe a 180 is exactly what lowest he'll ever go.
Yeah.
And he'll go with it, you know what I'm saying? So it's just you know what, you just gotta keep working at it, and it's a learning experience. Everything's a learning experience. It's just a learning experience. You just gotta go with it and stick with it.
Yeah, and guys, I just want you guys to take out of this. Well, we talk about a lot about real estate today, but I want you to know that me, Esteban, and Lee, anyone who bought a real estate property, the most important thing in buying an investment, especially with real estate, is knowing how to calculate numbers. Just knowing the basic terminology of real estate, like the words, what words are used more often, or how to calculate a return on investment and all that stuff. So me and Esteban, we didn't just get these houses and bring in $400 or $500 once we rent both sides out of nowhere. You know, we actually sat down individually and looked on YouTube. We read a lot of books. You know, we made sure that before we actually stepped into it, we were going to be prepared for what was come. Now, I'm not going to say that because the process of me buying the house, I started looking at the house near the end of October, and I closed on December 31st, right before the year ended. And during those 2 months, I learned so much that I thought I did know before, but that just made it more, that just showed me that there's so much to learn with investing, period. That not only that what you think you know and you just go off of that, you'll learn a lot more. And then plus you'll meet a lot of new people who are in the same situation. Okay. Mike, he said, have you guys heard of individual development accounts?
Development or deployment? Development. Yeah, I never heard that.
Yeah, I never.
Hey, Ote, what is that? What made you ask that?
I'm here. So I'm here with my my sister's fiance, and he wanted to ask the question. So you want to tell
him? I'm there.
Yeah, so how you doing, everybody? So basically, an individual development account, it's a type of account where it's normally with the state, with whatever state you're in, but you can save money because the state will match money that you put in towards buying a home. So I'll just read the Google definition of it. So it's a type of account in which the money you save is matched with money supplied by the program sponsor or financial institution. Your annual income must be within 200% of the federal poverty guidelines. So obviously this type of a program is for, like, let's say if you're making less than like $40,000 a year.
Oh, okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This is like Section 8 housing.
No, it's not like Section, because the Section 8, you're not the person who's living in it isn't putting any money into it. I'm saying, right. I'm saying this, it is for people who are, like I said, low income, but they have to put money into it, and the state matches that. So there's two types of programs that I wanted to know if you guys had heard of. One of them is called a DPA. And the other one is, called IDA, and the other one is called DPA. And both of these are within your state. So it's like across the US. So if you haven't heard of it, I'd encourage you to look it up, because one of them is for lower income. The other one is not. But I don't know if you guys are on Clubhouse, but I heard these programs from a conversation, and they were talking about how you can receive anywhere from $50,000 to $100,000 of
state funds,
money towards your home.
Yeah.
Okay.
And look, I never heard of those two terms. But the thing is, though, like, now I'm going to be more interested in to figure out what it is, because that's a sort of a leverage that you can use
exactly
to buying a property,
especially if you haven't purchased anything either. So
yeah. So I'll definitely look up to that. I mean, look into that because. I mean, why spend all of your money if someone can match it?
Yeah.
Match, put more to it. So that's definitely a benefit.
Yeah, because like for us, we were struggling with talking to like multiple audiences, right? Because we're all military, right? and it's hard to like talk to somebody who's civilian. I mean, real estate is real estate, but if there's certain like benefits and things that we aren't aware of, then we need to know. You know, like we may talk to somebody like Arturo, like he's paying rent, you know, he's doing what he's trying to do, and he just doesn't know where to start. Mm-hmm. We need to know about these things. We know FHA loan, we were aware of that one. But if there's programs like this, you know, that are for a certain sorry about that, my wife called me. For like certain states and stuff like that, and certain people with certain income, then yeah, we need to get spun up on that shit for sure.
And
appreciate it, bro.
Yeah, and the thing too with that too as well, like understand what leverage, like how you can use leverage in your side. Because leverage is a powerful thing as well as credit. You know, because that is a sort of a leverage that you're using.
I just had that in there for you guys in the chat. So if anybody wanted to go look it up and stuff, it's right there.
Absolutely. And people, everyone in this chat that's looking at this, please like look into that too as well, because that might benefit you to where that can help you either buy your first property if you want to buy a property or not.
Yeah. Hey y'all. So the meeting is about to end in 10 minutes. If y'all want to go into, did we pretty much cover all the questions y'all had? Anyone have any last questions real quick
about anything?
Yeah, you guys answered my stuff. I got a good avenue of approach that I'm going to take after this conversation. Hell
yeah. This is the purpose of this. Hell yeah. Like that.
I wanted to know what might be some of the downsides to owning a house that somebody might need to know.
Okay.
You got tenants. Yeah. So, yeah. So one thing, so anything you invest in, there's always pros and there's always cons. Even with the stock market or real estate or any other type of business that you're doing, their clothing line business or anything like that. And you need to understand the pros and the cons. So with real estate, and you can manage those risks and depending on what type of investment property you do. But so let's say for instance, so if we do a single family house, that's a single family is just one family living in that property. So the pros and cons about this is, one, if you're buying it to live in it, you're going to be paying the mortgage off of it, okay? And then say, for instance, the cons about it, the bad part about it is, say if you decide to move out and you still want to rent this side out, or once you want to rent that property out, one, either it's going to be 100% occupied or 100% vacant. So either way, you're going to have money to save to pay that mortgage when you go off and move somewhere else as well.
Do not buy single family homes.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
Unless it's a flip. Unless you're buying it for like super cheap, building it up and then selling that bitch. Do not buy single family homes. Yeah.
And to add on that, so I know Marco is looking to buy he's thinking about single family.
Why not?
He wants to start flipping and stuff like that. His brother that does, he's very successful in flipping and he does a crazy job. But to Nathan, why not? So here's the thing. All right. So I'm gonna put two scenarios. Okay. So let's do Juan and Lee, right? So Juan bought a duplex property, right? So he's living on one side and the other side is occupied by someone, right? So with the mortgage, say it's $1,000 and the rent is $1,000. So he's living on one side of the duplex for free because the other tenant is paying off his mortgage. So every money, so from his job, he's getting that money and he's saving that in his pocket. That's not going to the mortgage. So
he's living for free.
Yeah. He's using other people's money to pay off his debt.
Mm-hmm.
And that's called house hacking. House hacking is when you live in one side and have the other sides rent it out and paying for your mortgage, your expenses, right? Now, Lee bought a single family home.
Don't buy one.
And now with his job, the paycheck that he gets, he has to save money and collect money to pay off his mortgage. Now, whenever Lee decides to move somewhere else or if he wants to go somewhere else, he has to decide, okay, do I want to sell this property or do I want to rent it out? Now, each one, if you sell a property and you get an agent to sell it, you have to give them a commission.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you have to pay for closing costs. So mm-hmm. there's a lot of money that goes to selling a house. But say if he wants to rent it, right? So if he wants to rent it, he still has to say, okay, I'm going to put it up for rent. one, someone's not going to automatically live in the house as soon as you get out. So you have to have money saved up to pay that mortgage still.
Until somebody comes in. Yep.
Yeah, until somebody comes in. So you have to pay for that that vacancy. So, and then Lee still has to, wherever, if he buys another house somewhere else, he has to pay that mortgage plus the single family
mortgage. Plus this mortgage, exactly. Yeah.
So, and then that's already, he already in a hole right there because he has to pay two different house payments. And it's just going off. And what Esteban does, is since he's house hacking, and since we all eligible to use a FAH loan, right? For the FHA loan, you have to live in that house for 1 year, right? So after 1 year, Juan, with the duplex, he can move out of that duplex, the side that he was living out, and move somewhere else and buy another house using another loan, and he'll rent both sides out. Now, either way, if no one lives in that side that he just moved out of, he still has that tenant living on the other side paying that mortgage. So he does not have to worry about the mortgage being paid off of. So, and if he gets someone to live in that other side that he just moved out of, that money basically is called cash flow. We get more into it on another class, but cash flow is basically after all the expenses are paid for, the leftover money is the money that you can put in your pocket to spend it on a new car, or not a new car, because I don't know what I'm saying. But like you can spend it on anything you want. You can go on a trip. You can buy another property. You can do anything you want. You can start a business with that money that's left over off of that other side being rented. Now, if you look at both sides, which one would be beneficial? And that adds on to multifamily. It's 1 to 4 units. So that's a duplex that Esteban was doing it. But if someone else like me, if I got a fourplex, so I'm living in one and renting three sides out, you just, like, think about that.
Yeah. Stupid money.
So, hey, so yeah. Running out of time right now. We got 5 minutes. I would like to be going to a quick AAR. What are those military? No, but pretty much we're gonna see like what y'all liked about it and any suggestions. Pretty much. This is go off the list. Nathan, go ahead. Any suggestions or something you like?
Yeah. You said 3 sustains, 3 improvements.
Yeah, you know, I don't gotta be like that. Just
It was good. It was good. And I had no clue about, so everything that was my whole, I guess, goal for real estate was to get Burr properties, right? And y'all opened a new door for me with duplexes and multiplexes, which is really interesting. I didn't think about it like that, about house hacking, because I heard of the term, but I never did my research on the term. But yeah, yeah, continue to do the real estate game, which is really important. And of course, the stock market. And with the credit too, the credit line was really good. Because some of us don't have really good credit, and that's a really big thing for us. But other than that, it was really good, guys.
Appreciate it. All right, let's go. Next person would be Duty. Go ahead. Or Arturo, sorry.
Nah, bro, the same thing he said, duplexes. But I just feel like, honestly, the duplexes here in Miami, man, they're, like, going for 350 grand.
More, bro.
Yeah, 400. Like, I'm looking at it right now. 1 million, some of them, bro. So, what would you guys recommend? Like, should I look somewhere else or should Orlando, I?
Orlando or Homestead.
Or, like, Tampa, right? Tampa's also.
Also, Homestead. Also, what you can do in your situation that you're in a high-priced market is you can see, okay, if you know some people that have the money but don't have the time, you have that leverage where you have the time to look for properties and we'll go through it on the next class to understand how numbers and how to calculate if it's a good investment, a great investment, or it's a bad investment. And you have the time to do that, so you can bring that paperwork to that person that has the money but doesn't have the time to look at the deals, the stuff that you're doing, and you can go in a partnership and look, you already bought a duplex property or whatever type of real estate property that you want, and it's basically using other people's money. And that's another leverage too, how successful people buy a lot of real estate, because sometimes they don't even have a lot of money, but they understand how to use that leverage with using other people's money.
Yes. Hey, so if we get caught off and you want to say something, just put it in the website. All right, let's go with Marco. Go ahead real quick if you want to say something.
I learned a lot from you guys just by like learning about the housing market and stuff, learning about all the different types of loans and everything. That's all stuff I never knew about. And, like, just being able to get into a duplex and generate that income without having to pay. that is just like great idea that I never started like hearing about till I started talking like more like with this group.
I like that.
Eye opener.
Yeah. All right, so Walker, go ahead.
Yo, how's it going? Yeah, I was mainly just listening on it, you know, soaking in information, looking at options, that kind of thing. It was straight class, though.
All right, for sure, for sure. All right, Monty.
Now, I learned a lot, you know, there's a lot of different subjects we touched, but I know that, you know, I got a lot of information, like conventional loans, property management, you know, house hacking, like that's a lot of good information that that's some people didn't really know, like me. And then that's something to look forward to, and you know, maybe in the future make that type of investment, and then just keep growing together.
Oh yeah,
great class.
All right, Javi, go ahead.
Like I said, great class as well. I didn't know about the conventional shit about the what Paul told me. I didn't know about that. Like I'm doing my research on that as well. I didn't know that at all. That actually opens up my eyes to. I could probably purchase my first property within the next month or so with that information, like, so serious. So I didn't know about that. But yeah, nothing good or bad. Just, yeah, that's it.
Cool. Appreciate that. All right, Mike.
Yeah, Tyson. I would say great information. You guys stay on track, push out the information. I like the vibes. You guys seem like you're very passionate about really collaborating with a group. So I think that type of energy and stuff will definitely build a rapport amongst each other. I definitely plan on buying a property sometime soon and just talk to you guys about the process and, you know, you guys can give more insight and stuff like that or whatever you got for your experience. Cause I feel like it's good to have some type of mentor that's been through the process, you know, and I definitely look forward to coming back. So I don't really have any bad thing to say about it. You know, I think it went great overall.
So, yeah, so we got that WhatsApp running. So, if between these 2 weeks, you got questions, you got a deal that you ran up on, you found something on Zillow, you asking, should I buy the stock? When should I buy it? Anything in the financial markets, just put in the chat. We all want to scale up. We all want to grow. We all want to get somewhere. So, let's just do it together.
Hey, I got to ask about, I know you're big into like stocks and day trading and stuff like that. I know I always stumble across your story when you do drop stocks like that. Is there any way you can drop that as well on the chat as well?
So we go. Yeah, so I'm going to get the disclaimer real quick. I can do that, but if y'all lose money, that's on y'all. I'm not
going to. No, 100%. Yeah,
exactly. I am not a financial advisor.
Yeah. It's at your own risk. It's at your own risk.
No, yeah, so I'll definitely do that, but it's up to y'all.
And the thing with that is, though, and that's not just in stocks, it's just in real estate as well. You know, we can give you all the advice that we personally went through or we personally know, but it's up to you because at the end of the day, you're going to be buying that stock and you're going to be buying that property. So you have to understand, you have to do your due diligence. You have to learn your research. You have to do your research on the market that you're in, the county that you're in, and what kind of benefits that go off of what you know, because like we can say so much, but at the end of the day, it's really up to you. And we can help you throughout the calculating the numbers and all that stuff. But you have to be, you know, you have to get your own part too. You have to do your part.
Yeah. And with that being said, Dogecoin to the moon.
Yes, sir. You see it? You see Dogecoin today?
But yeah, guys, I appreciate y'all. We all appreciate y'all coming in and giving your input, asking questions. Like I said, let's all grow together and keep this going.
Yeah, and also, so we are planning, so usually we're going to do something like this every other week, every other Sunday, so stay tuned for the next one. We're going to talk and to see if we're going to do a class or, you know, just another group discussion, because this is a group discussion. We want to, you know, just have everyone involved in the group discussions. So, yeah,
stay tuned. I have a question to the group, the entire group. If we, me, Esteban and Paulie, if we were to put together like some classes on the side, would you guys actually like watch those classes? Because obviously it won't be a one-on-one. It'll just be somebody saying, hey, today I'm going to talk about starting a VA loan and using it. Would you guys like download that shit and actually watch it?
Yeah, I would. I definitely would and get into it.
Well, too.
As long as it's structured and you got a good flow and you're not repeating yourself, I mean –
oh, yeah.
The information you're giving is out. It's great information. You know, you got a good structure. I don't see why someone wouldn't listen to it.
Okay.
Yes, me.
Okay. We were thinking about it. We were just like, we don't know. So
we'll definitely be here.
Yeah.
Okay, bet.
And so we making a we got a kind of like a brand or like a society that we created. It's called Scale Up. So
Scale Squad, yeah, you got that shit. That's the name of the WhatsApp. So
Scale Up Squad, and everyone in here is involved in the Scale Up Squad, and we're helping everyone else to scale up to that next level or where you want to be, whatever direction you want to go to, either it's real estate, stocks, any personal businesses that you got going on. You know, we're trying to build a community where all of us can help each other out and to get to that next level, get to that over that next hill, and help and watch the journey individually.
Yeah.
Cool. All
also right. So with that hard line, I see.
Hey, yeah, you're the only one that peeped that. Look at that. Yeah, we got big things coming, man. We got big things coming. Let's all go together. Like I said, appreciate y'all being here, and we got shit going.